You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510. Our station is letters are WWBC. One day I'm going to figure out, I'll put something together for WWBC. And we're also on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Every Monday, Ellen Little and myself meet here in the studio, and we pretend it's our living room. We can't have any drinks, though,
because
our producer, Paul, right, doesn't like drinks.
No drinks, no snacks, but we do meet the coolest people.
We do, and the show is fun and it's unscripted, and we give out really great information, valuable information, and we have a lot of friends that text me or email me, and they like that the show is more of a conversational nature than scripted, where you have to be afraid of what you're going to say and if you're going to say the right thing. It's too nerve-wracking like that, right. I think. Exactly. I can't even do it.
Exactly.
I would be like tripping all over myself if I had to stick to a script.
And then you couldn't ask like extra questions.
Yeah, I cannot stick to a script if for nothing.
That's right.
So today, my friend Wendy's here, so...
Yes, hello. Thank you for having me today.
Right, and you know, I've been following Wendy on Facebook. Who doesn't? I mean, everybody's on Facebook these days. And for me, I feel like Facebook was created just for me, which is great. I have to thank Mark Zuckerberg all the time. Because my husband goes to bed early. So for me, it's nice to just stay at home safe and calm and, you know, in your home, not driving around with the crazy people on the roads these days and right. Just do your stuff. And I've been following Wendy Champion. Is it Wendy Champion Terry?
Terry.
Yeah, three names, Wendy Terry. There is a champion in there in the middle.
Yes, my maiden name. Yes.
I like it. You're a champion.
You are a champion.
Thank you.
I just saw that movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, and that's a song in there. We are the champions.
Right.
And I thought about you. I thought about you. But Wendy is here. She's coping with a lot right now. A mom that has to literally watch her child go through treatments, chemotherapy for Ewing's sarcoma. And that's pretty rough, isn't it?
Yes, it's been really rough. You know, we're getting used to living day by day now. Of course, it was a shock, and, you know, it still is, to be quite frank. You know, we just want to get August through this treatment. And
the side effects, the dreaded side effects. So on our second segment, we're going to be talking about August, and Wendy's going to share with our listening audience her journey and what's happening. She's nine years old, and she's beautiful. But our first segment, Ellen and I have a repeat guest, what we like to call repeat customer.
That's right.
Our friend Tony McClear is calling in from the group. From his organization is called Life After Hate. And their mission with Life After Hate is dedicated to inspiring individuals to a place of compassion and forgiveness for themselves and for all people as well. We always talk about forgiveness on the show. And, you know, I was watching on CNN all the coverage on President Bush.
Yeah.
Who passed away, right?
And, what a great tribute.
I know. And I especially like the love story of him and Barbara Bush.
Yes.
You don't see that anymore.
Well, and the satirists, you know, the comics and all of that were pretty light this particular past weekend because there was a lot of them that just drew a picture of President Bush hugging Barbara Bush at the pearly gates.
And their daughter. They had a daughter that passed away. And then this morning, his son was on Neil Bush and was talking about his dad. And CNN had this picture up, and here you have a man who, you know, was in the oil business, he was the president, he was in the military, a dad and a husband, but the one picture that CNN had this morning was a picture of President and Mrs. Bush in this big bed and all their grandchildren around them, and it reminded me of us.
Yeah.
We all do that, right?
Yeah.
And someone asked him, what's the most important thing in your life, and he said that the children will come back home. And it just made me tear up because all of us who have children, we all want that, right?
And it, yes. And in his, you got to remember how far his political career goes back. I mean, he was like part of Nixon, you know, part of like that far back. So
right.
He was part of all of those things that had happened through transcend through history of you know, just from politics in general. And typically people aren't that, you know, unfortunately, characteristically, they don't seem to be that family oriented. And I just love that story about
well, him and Reagan, too. President Reagan was also,
well, yeah.
So President Obama is,
right.
too, you know.
Right.
But anyways, but somebody said something. They said, when the body goes limp, it goes straight to heaven. And that President Bush, 41, is with Barbara Bush,
right, right.
and their daughter. And I thought about all the people that pass away in the nursing homes when I'm there or when our friends are there. And it's the truth. You know, those of, I mean, I'm not, I believe in I have faith. And I do know that at the end of life, a lot of people, they draw on their faith. And it's so good to say the Lord's Prayer with them or hold their hand. And if they believe they're going to heaven, who am I to tell them they're not? Right. And when CNN, they were talking about that this morning, that, that you know, his body is going and his spirit to where his wife is. And I thought that was beautiful because it makes you think of your own parents, too. My parents passed away and, you know, it's there, right? But he's getting a pretty good send-off today, which is nice. Yeah.
Very nice. Yes.
So that was our kitchen table topics for today, talking about the service. And, you know, we don't really think about what sacrifices the military people make for us, right? Mm-hmm. And we had somebody come over this weekend to our house, and the gentleman is in the Navy, and he was talking about having to leave his wife and their dog and go away. And it is a sacrifice. And we just looked at him and we said, you know what, thank you. And we thank everybody for their service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so Tony's on the phone, and Tony, you're calling in today, and I know we told you Eastern time, and we're very happy that you remembered.
Not like last time.
Not like the last time, but we like when you call in because, you know, you have taught me a lot about love and forgiveness and how we all should live. And so I thought what a great way to start the month of December. This is a very festive month. People are celebrating the holidays, and I thought Viewpoint with Sita and friends here in Cocoa, Florida, on WWBC, we would love to have you call in and talk with us about and give us an update on what's going on with you. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Currently, I'm board chair of and co-founder of Life After Hate, which is an organization dedicated to helping, we sort of have three fronts that we work on, helping people leave hate groups. We also educate and inform communities how to respond to racism and racist groups that are active in their communities in a healthy way. And then we also do a number of research projects and inform tech companies how they can respond to racism online as well. Personally, I spent about 15 years in the white supremacist movement, starting as a skinhead and then becoming a propagandist and a recruiter for white Aryan resistance.
And you're not proud of that at all?
No, that's not an achievement.
That's right. And I'm glad that you talk about it openly because, I mean, what you say carries so much weight. And there are people who are struggling with groups like that, and I know that they want to come out of it. So when you speak about it and how you got out of it, and that your goal, your primary goal, is to interrupt violence committed in the name of religious belief and just the ideologies, I think it's great.
Thank you. And that is the goal. And it's the six of us that founded Life After Hate all have extensive histories within the white supremacist movement a long time ago. We've made the journey out, and our goal is to help people who are where we once were.
Yeah. And what exactly is a white Aryan Aryan resistance? It says war, and when I look at it, I say, oh, they're going to war, but they're not. They're going to war of some sort. War,
right.
They're hateful, some of them, right?
Right, and they're gearing toward, you know, literally gearing for war. There was a book published, I'm not sure if it was the 70s or the 80s, The Turner Diaries. It was a fictional book written by William Pierce of the National Alliance, despite the innocent sounding of the name. was just as hardcore as the most racist groups, although they disguised themselves in sort of intellectualism. But it was a fictional novel to take place in the future, where there was a revolution and overthrow of the government by white nationalists and a very violent overthrow, and what happened in the aftermath. And the one of the chapters that people talk about the most is the Day of the Rope, where race traders and minorities were dragged from their homes and hanged from lampposts. That book was inspirational to just forgot my memory is the guy who did the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, Timothy McVeigh.
I think that's
I know. I watch the news so much. I know his name. Yeah.
And it inspired a group, the Order, which did bank robberies. They did an armored car robbery for $3.5 million and murdered Jewish talk show host Alan Berg.
Oh yeah.
That book is an inspiration to violence and revolution. So when they talk about having a name like war, they're literally preparing for what they see as the coming race war to defend the white race against genocide. And that's the sort of delusional narrative that that drives these things. But make no mistake, the capacity for violence on the extreme far right is it's limitless.
So how do we help them? How do we educate them? I mean, you know, it's almost like, you know, we all watch cable news, and now we have Twitter and Facebook
and
Instagram.
It's funny that you bring that up, because I don't know if you looked at their blogs on the Life After Hate, but I read through all of the blogs, Tony, and I'm not sure who writes all of these. I'm sure it's noted in here. But one of the articles that they wrote was about how the media should cover hate. And then also there was isn't there a campaign going on right now to try and reduce the hate on Twitter?
And we can do it together, I think, but we just have to have people like Tony to speak out, and shows like ours that say, yes, we can.
Right.
Well, I think the important thing to remember that, you know, it's easy to look at activity that's happening on the fringes, you know, and look at it, well, that's happening over there, what's that got to do with me? And I think it's important to remember that mainstream acts of intolerance inform what happens at the outer edges, at the fringe. And so I think, you know, it's a whole of society problem that requires a whole of society solution. And there's, you know, two components to that. One is being courageous and being an active bystander to say, hey, that joke's not cool. You know, we don't have to get aggressive and confrontational about it, but you can inform the friend or the person at the dinner party or whatever that, you know,
so stop them in their tracks. I think sometimes you just have to be honest and say, that was not nice. You need to stop.
Yeah.
Well, so Tony, tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, what exactly is a hate crime? What's the definition of a hate crime?
Any crime, you know, that's committed with the intention to, you know, harm or intimidate a person or a group of persons on the basis of race, sexual orientation, gender, there's a whole list of different categories. So, and it tends to be applied to acts of violence, although vandalism can also be considered a hate crime. But it's when, you know, you attack someone physically because they're gay or they're black or
they're different religion.
Religion.
Right. And one of the things I like about you is you talked about it on your website, and the last time when you called and we talked about that financial hardship and the harsh realities of you raising the children brought you to a place of compassion and forgiveness. So tell us, how did you transition from being a white supremacist to being a person that can forgive and look at your children and say, well, everything starts in the home, and I do not want my children to learn this behavior at home?
Right, and I think that the level to which we dehumanize other human beings is a mere reflection of how internally disconnected and dehumanized we are. And I was operating completely from my ego. I was a narcissist. I was you know, I sought all the media attention. It was all about me, and I'd never made any decisions during that period, except for myself. When the children were born, I was faced with a choice. Do I take care of these, or, you know, do I run away? That's the choice that happens in an unplanned pregnancy, and I chose to raise the children. And when they were 2 and 4, we separated, and I had them 4 days a week, and she had them 3 days a week. And by the time they were 4 and 6, I had them full time. But the beautiful thing about children is, you know, the reason we stopped feeling we were not in our hearts is because it's not safe to be open because of things that have happened to us. So we shut down and become guarded and protective and stop feeling. But children are safe to love, and it started a thawing process for me because they're not capable of rejection, they're not capable of shaming, and they're not capable of those things until they're about 13 or so, and that's all they want to do. But, you know, it started a thawing process, and, you know, children are full of unconditional love and compassion. And for me, what compassion is when we're compassionate with someone, we hold a mirror up to them and allow them to see their humanity reflected back at them when they can't see it on their own.
Right. It's almost like you have to look in the mirror and find out who you really are. And I think a lot of people ought to do that sometimes, because I've done that. And I think I am a person that I feel like I do. When I say I want peace on earth, I actually mean it. I just don't want to see it on a Christmas card, and I don't want to see it on a headstone. But I would really hope that before I leave this planet, that my grandchildren and generations to come will actually live in a world where people are a bit more peaceful, you know?
Right, and I spent 15 years trying to change the world outside of me, and in the hopes that it would make me happy somehow, or whole, or whatever it was. And what I've realized in my own journey back from that is I have more influence on the world by changing who I am in the world. And I think we need to stop looking outside of ourselves for solution and for peace, but we need to be examples of it. We need to inspire it in others, and we need to go and seek the peace inside, because that has a huge influence. Who we are in the world changes the world more than trying to go out and fix the world.
Right. That's what Gandhi says.
That's profound.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly how I say things. So, and even so, like in our communities, in our neighborhoods, we don't have to wait for politicians or someone to come in and change things for us. We can start in our own backyard. And I think that's the beauty of education and, you know, finding who you are as a human being.
Right. And if we think that it all rests on a different president or an impeachment or some great legislation that's going to make hate go away, it's not. And that can be an excuse for inaction. We can go, well, with the next election, it'll all go away. That gets used more as an excuse for inaction than anything else. And I think, you know, I joke around and say in Vancouver, they had kale salad at McDonald's. I was like, well, how on earth do you get kale salad at McDonald's? If you told me that 10 years ago, I'd say you're dreaming. But kale salad ends up in McDonald's because of the change in behavior of every morsel of food put in every bite, every meal made by people forces that change to happen. It's not a grand thing happening that's going to make the change. It's millions of little tiny actions.
Well, it was like the cell phone, right? I mean, Ellen and I were talking about this. You were saying that who would have thought that one day we would not be using our computers, the laptop or the desktop, we'd just be using the phone. It's behavior. We change our behavior.
Yeah.
Right?
It's lots of little things. It's who we decide to be in every moment of every day, and it's how we treat other human beings around us in every moment of every day.
Right.
That makes a difference.
So, Tony, tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on AM 1510 WWBC, why do you think hate crimes occur? And have we seen a spike in it in the last few years?
I think we have, certainly, and it's a very complex complex issue. I mean, I think we've seen a spike in hate crimes. We've seen a spike in overt racist activity for sure. And at the same time, we've seen a spike in suicide amongst white men. You know, and you can think, well, how are those related? And I think that they are, because suicide is an act of violence to the self, and racism and hate crimes is an act of violence to someone else. And we have to look at what is the source of that anger and rage that's happening. I think we need to understand that, and then we need to be able to address that. And I think that you know, an important part that we do is, you know, we listen to people. And listening to them doesn't mean you validate their views. It just means you're listening to them. And I think what we find is a lot of these people have very legitimate grievances, but where they put the blame, what they're angry at, is completely misplaced. And I think that, you know, our executive director, Sammy Rangel, has a saying, never concede, never condemn. So you never concede on your values when talking with someone, but you never condemn them.
Right. They just want somebody to listen. And the thing is, you know, we all talk about, you know, we say freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. And of course, I try to remember that when we're on air here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. But words do matter. And when people use words that causes others to think differently or act differently, that's not nice. I mean, I think we all, as human beings, you know, we have these senses. And my father had a way of saying it, you know, we have the sense to speak and smell and touch and walk and think. And I think it is a gift that human beings have that animals don't have sometimes. And we should be using these gifts, this talent, to speak and be kind and say things that don't incite violence.
Well, and the other part, and Tony, one of the articles, and I believe it was an NPR article that you had posted, they were talking about that Robert Bowers, that the synagogue shooter in Pittsburgh, and said how he had, like, for months prior to it, he had spewed these things of bigotry and hate and all of that stuff. Somebody heard him.
Right.
I mean, obviously, if there's an article about it, somebody heard him. So who stopped him? Or what do you do in that type of a situation, Tony, when you hear people? You certainly have to say something. Is that the time that you call the police? Is there other ways, in your opinion, that somebody like that could be kind of circumvented or stopped from possibly doing something like this, where this gentleman happened to kill 11 people?
Well, so there, the tech companies are starting to, you know, gear up programs and looking at how do we intervene, and we're partnering with a couple of them as to receive referrals. You know, it's interestingly enough, amongst violent extremists, and I'm not sure if it's just violent far right or if that included ISIS, Al-Qaeda inspired stuff, but it was three times more likely to, on this basic study, they were three times more likely to respond to a mental health ad on the page they were looking at than the average. You know, so there's ways to divert them. And the other challenge is if you eliminate every outlet for them to speak, you won't be able to detect them. They won't go away.
Right.
Yeah,
they'll still be there.
Right.
But we lose the ability to intervene or monitor or catch it. So there's, I think, you know,
certainly a double-edged sword, no pun intended.
Just limit all the speech and ban all the sites and you know, it's gone. But it's a lot more complicated than that. And there's, when we ban all of that stuff, we lose the ability to monitor and track it.
Right, and sometimes, you know, it's just family members, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts. You know, you're sitting at a family gathering and you notice something. You say, you know, that person is a little off. Maybe they should sit down and say, listen, let's talk. Because if you could catch things early and nip it in the bud, you know, maybe, just maybe, we might have a chance to change someone's life. And I think a lot of people are just afraid to get involved with their family members or their cousins or their neighbors or whatever. They just don't want to start the conversation. But I think they ought to. They ought to say, hey, let's talk about what you just did.
Yeah, and let's talk about what you're feeling, right? Where is this coming from? And so, you know, we get people all the time and say, well, my uncle's saying this crazy stuff at family dinners, and you know, what can I say to him to confront him and change his mind? And really, it's not about changing minds. That's very difficult, because you know, when I was in that ideology, and when people are in that ideology, your identity and ideology are intertwined. So the second you start attacking the ideology, you attack their identity, and all the ego defense mechanisms come out.
Right. But everybody have that one uncle. Everybody I know have that one uncle that they're trying to avoid him coming to parties or give him like a different time and a different date. But Tony, we have 2 minutes left in our segment, and I wondered, you're also a motivational speaker. So give us some of the information for your website and how people could contact you if they would like to hear about Life After Hate.
Sure. Well, they can contact us through the website for sure at lifeafterhate.org. You can reach me personally at tony@lifeafterhate.org or on Twitter at Macaleer, M-C-A-L-E-E-R.
Right. And with the remaining 1 minute, tell our listeners, where do hate crimes usually occur? Is it based on zip codes, or is it based on what people are hearing in their places of worship, or is it their family life, or just their friends? Where are these things happening the most?
I think it's all over, like every state, but there's states that are worse than others. So I think Texas, Southern California, and then on the South and Florida and places like that are where they're heightened. But it, you know, there's angry people everywhere, and there's angry people looking to dump that feeling of anger out of themselves and onto other people. There was a great quote by Father Boyle, who runs Homeboy Industries in LA, and he said that which we don't transform, we transmit.
I know. And you know, one of the things that President Bush had talked about before he passed away was a kinder, gentler USA. And I think every family needs some form of meditation. They need some form of relaxation. And you need a Gandhi person in every family that could say, hey, let's get Auntie so-and-so, because she can talk to this one. You know, it's like you don't really, yeah. Sometimes you don't need the professional. You need just your inner self and channel that energy into doing good and bringing that person to talk to someone.
Yeah, no, that's it. And go with the intention of not changing the mind, but just start off with just listening. You know, it's amazing how when someone feels listened to, it's so disarming to all of their defenses. And try and understand what the grievance that's below the ideology and the anger and all of that, and then you can really start to get somewhere.
I sometimes say, you know, when we need professionals for mental health and psychology, we use them, and they're a great resource. But I always say that sometimes girlfriends, what would life be without girlfriends? Because sometimes you can talk to a friend, and before you know it, everything is solved. And it tells us the bigger picture is you have to be, they want to be listened to. Listening is such a skill, and I'm learning that myself.
Yeah, no, we get asked all the time, again, what should I say to my uncle? And I said, well, what's your intention? If your intention is to get in an argument, you know, say whatever you want. But if your intention is actually to facilitate change, then it's not about talking, it's about listening.
Yes. Well, Tony, thank you so much for calling in from Life After Hate. I've watched you on MSNBC and CNN, and I've read some of the articles. I've gone to your website, and you have inspired me to do the good things that I do on the radio show and be kind and forgive others as well, because I watch the way you live your life. And so Ellen will
be
post...
Be kind and forgive yourself, too. The more we have compassion and forgiveness for ourselves, the more we diminish our capacity to do harm in the world.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. And Ellen will post your stuff on our website.
Absolutely. And we have all of that already posted on our Facebook page and also on our CETAMedia.com page. So thank you so much, Tony. We're going to hear from our sponsors real quick, and we'll be right back with Wendy right after this segment.
Portions of Viewpoint with CETA and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of CETA McGee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply CETA Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of CETA and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well. and delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, where I choose to spend my Mondays, and that's the word of the day, choose. You have a choice, right? We all have a choice in what we do with our days off and where we choose to spend our time. And I choose to spend 1 hour every Monday in this studio right here, and I have fun. I learn stuff.
And we do have 2 sponsors for today's show. First of all, I'd like to thank you and the Sita Begee family for sponsoring the second part of the show with Wendy, as well as who sponsored it was
Karen Weinberg Weber.
Weinberg Weber sponsored the Life After Hate show. So thank you both so much for that and keeping Viewpoint with Sita and Friends alive,
keeping it afloat,
keeping it alive,
and keeping our studio. We do have, well, you know what? We do have a nice studio. Yes, we have mics that function.
Yeah,
we have a clean studio. It's air conditioned, and you know these things don't come from the sky. They have to pay for their, you know, they have to pay for lights, water, the utilities, mortgages, whatever it is, right? And that's why a lot of people always want to come on the show, and I tell them, well, I don't mind having people come on, but Pastor Paul here, this is his job.
That's right.
To maintain the studio and having us on air, and it is a blessing to be here. So that's good. But anyway, so. You know, I'm on Facebook, and I see this lovely friend of mine, Wendy Champion Terry, And she's blogging about what's happening with her beautiful 9-year-old daughter, August. And then I see all these fundraisers that are springing up to help this beautiful child who unexpectedly was diagnosed with cancer.
Ewing sarcoma.
And I said, oh, I've never, I being a nurse, I mean, I know about cancer, but I never heard of that one. So I asked my husband about it, and he said, yes, it is something that affects the bones. And of course, he knows everything. So he told me about it. And I said, well, I want to bring my friend on the show because we're doing shows now about human interest stories, things that are going on with people right in our neighborhood and how we can help. And he says, well, I'll sponsor that for her. So thank you. And so tell us a little bit, my dear Wendy, about your daughter. And her name is August. I love that name too.
Yes, it is. And thank you so much for having me on today. Yes, August, she is 9 years old, and she attended Freedom 7 Elementary, and she's in the fourth grade.
So your entire life changed overnight. Was it Monday, September 17th, when all this happened?
Yes, that's when we found out the exact diagnosis with August. We found out that she had cancer when they actually wanted me to get an MRI for her. So they immediately, you know, after the MRI, they immediately told me that she had a tumor in her left humerus. And they said it was cancer. And we were quickly admitted. We stayed there for 4 days so she can have a biopsy and a bone scan. And then the following week, we had a PET scan. So they had to send the biopsy off for DNA testing to find out exactly what she had as far as what cancer to start her with treatment. And then September 17th, which was a Monday, that's when the doctor called me and said, it is Ewing sarcoma.
Yeah, I bet you were floored because you didn't probably know about that as well, like I didn't.
No. I mean, initially after the MRI, they said it looks like Ewing sarcoma, but for that diagnosis, you know, they needed to send it in for DNA testing. So, you know, the wait was very difficult. You know, of course, I'm sure anyone who is told they had cancer wants to immediately get treatment.
Right. And how did you tell a nine-year-old that this is what's happening? Because it's fearful.
Yes, yes. Well, it was really scary. I mean, when the doctors came in and told me she had cancer, she was in the room as well. And so, you know, I got very emotional. And so she, of course, started crying. And, you know, then I comforted her and, you know, said, you know, we're just immediately going to get treatment. And, you know, we're just...
And stay positive.
And
then you have to tell the other children at home as well, and her dad. I mean, then you have to go home and tell everybody what's going on.
Yes. Well, I immediately called her dad. And then, of course, we sat down as a family and explained that, you know, what cancer was. And this is what she has. And she has to have treatment. And she can no longer go to school.
Yeah, it's a process, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I know. And Ellen said she hadn't heard of it either.
No.
Yeah.
No, and I had looked it up, obviously, because, you know, we try and do a little bit of homework beforehand to kind of learn up a little bit more of it. And the prognosis and so forth seems pretty good, and especially everything that I've read as well. But it's still tough for a 9-year-old.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So how are you, from a support standpoint, we were kind of talking a little bit before the show, from a support standpoint, she's got two great siblings.
Yes, yes. Right. You know, they are all very well grounded. They are very close, and that has been, you know, an emotional support for August when she's in the hospital. You know, she looks forward to seeing them when they come and visit on the weekends when we're there for the weekends. So that's been great.
Yeah.
And you know, I also have, you know, I make an effort to, of course, provide play dates with her and keep her busy through the day.
And her friends are all involved as well, I noticed.
Yes.
On Facebook you talk about it. And of course, she had such beautiful blonde hair, and then she started losing her hair. Mm-hmm. So the choice was made, I suppose, by her physician to go with chemotherapy and then probably later on radiation as well.
Yes. So we're finishing up the first phase of chemotherapy, and then let's see, we have tomorrow for a chemo treatment, then next week, and then it'll be surgery at some point. And so they will remove the humerus, 80% of the humerus, and replace it with a titanium rod that actually can be lengthened throughout the years. So it's a two-day procedure. Then we come back to the surgeon, which is in Moffitt. The surgeon's in Moffitt. He's a wonderful surgeon, Dr. Benitier. And then, you know, then just throughout the years, go there. It's a simple in-and-out procedure for them to lengthen it.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that amazing? Like,
modern medicine.
That just amazes me. That I mean, from a technology standpoint and how far we've come.
Yes.
With, you know, so it does give me hope that when we
right.
donate to places that have research and all of these different things, when I look at that and somebody says, well, we haven't really seen much research, I'm like, really? Because I've seen a lot of research being done, and things that are that would be considered almost exploratory are almost becoming now routine.
Right. Well, they're saving lives. I mean, so many people
amazing.
Are living longer too.
Yeah.
So, of course, you have to go through like the signs and symptoms of the side effects from chemotherapy, but you also have to protect organs from infections. And how are you doing that with the other children? I mean,
yeah,
it's challenging.
That is challenging. You know, of course, you can't go to school because of, you know, the possibility of getting sick. And then there was one time, you know, we've been in the hospital due to fevers. If she has a fever of 100.4, we should actually already be in the ER. So that's happened three times now. And the last time I was really worried because my other two were sick. They caught like a 24-hour bug. First it started with my youngest 6-year-old, and then my 6-year-old was playing a game with my 11-year-old, and he got sick the next day. And so we kept checking August to see if her fever was going up, and it did. And
yeah.
I took her to the hospital, and, you know, that's an automatic, you know, 24-hour admission. They want to make sure
to monitor her.
Free.
Sure. Yes.
Be
yes.
Free for at least 24 hours. And we were in there a few days. She did have a cold. You know, luckily it didn't turn into anything serious, but, you know, of course I was really scared. I was like, okay, so she's coughing, she's sniffling, you know, how are the lungs, you know, just monitoring.
Yeah. It's not,
you know?
I mean, It's, I mean, when you have a child who is ill like that, I mean, it's like every minute counts, right? It's so precious. But here's the other thing. Somebody had asked me to ask you when I told them you were coming on the show. What about health insurance? Did you have health insurance, or were you fortunate enough to have it?
Yes. We do have great health insurance. We have a high deductible plan, which it's $3,000 deductible, and then insurance covers the first 80% after we pay the $3,000, and then our max out pocket is $11,000 per year.
Right. So this is where your friends and family in Satellite Beach and Brevard came in handy to try to help with fundraisers so that they can help you with the deductible and with other things.
Yes.
And I love that. That's what when I saw that on Facebook and how many people were trying to help August and the family, because you have to make a lot of sacrifices.
Yes, I mean, the outpour of love and support has been wonderful. I mean, I just, you know, I can't sit here and thank everyone enough.
Yes.
I mean, from Girl Scouts to, you know, Coconuts.
Yeah, what a good community.
On the beach.
I know.
Who is having a family night tonight. And then, you know, with insurance, last week I got a phone call saying that they were not going to pay for the titanium humerus because it's listed as experimental.
Oh, man. I hate when that happens. By a technicality, they can't do something. Oh, it's cosmetic.
Right.
The two dreaded words that people don't want to hear when they have to have something done.
It's specialized, you know, for my daughter, August. And so tomorrow they're supposed to have a peer review with the surgeon and insurance. And, you know, he has to prove that this is not, you know, just experimental. But, you know, there's only been 100 humeruses made like this in the past 20 years. You know, so hopefully, fingers crossed. And
now, would you have to bring August there, or would they do this behind closed doors, this meeting that they're having?
Oh, no, it's by phone. It's with the surgeon
okay.
and insurance. Yeah.
Because sometimes when you see a child, you can't say no.
Yes.
I would say, you know, you can't say no to this. And she's smart.
This is reality.
I notice, like, when she's getting her treatments, she's on the internet, she's surfing, she's doing her homework. And what I like about what's happening with August, and for our listeners who are just tuning in, this is Sita Begee. Our show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. My good friend Ellen Little, my co-host, is here. And we're talking with Wendy Terry. I'm going to leave out the champion this time. Her daughter was diagnosed with Ewing's sarcoma, and she's been blogging about it, and our community has come together in a fantastic way to help this family. And I thought it was great to do a show on it, this month being the holidays and Christmas and everything. And what I especially like about it is the teachers and are rallying around August to make sure she gets her work done. So how's that happening?
Yes. You know, that has
been... Thank God for the internet, right?
Yes. Yes. Exactly, that has been so beautiful. And, I mean, of course, August, she loves school. And so it just broke our hearts to tell her that, you know, she cannot go, you know, for the remaining of the year. And her teacher was Mrs. Hansen. And then she automatically gets placed on a homebound status in Brevard County, which Mrs. Zimmerman, you know, put out a letter, who would like to, you know, this homebound position.
The tutor,
after
work,
that, you know, lives in the Beachside community. And a teacher from Freedom 7 stepped up and she said, you know, she would come to her house. She meets with August Wednesdays and Thursdays for 2 hours every night to cover all the subjects.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can't thank her enough.
Right. And it's great because she's home, and if she has a side effect from the chemo, she's right there.
Yeah.
You know, and then the teacher probably learned by now what to do to protect August so that she's not, you know, going to be prone to infections. She's prone to infections, but she knows how to wash her hands, take care of herself before she comes in, it was so good.
Yes, and then technology. I mean, there's been times where we've Skyped.
Yes.
Because the teacher said, hey, someone got sick in my class. I just don't feel comfortable being around August. And they Skype, you know, through the whole time. And then when August is getting chemo treatments, they also Skype at the hospital. And yes. August will sit there through, you know, she might be a little bit tired, but, you know, it's helped her tremendously. Just
right.
To
because she would get depressed. She looks like the kind of child that was used to doing things.
She's
and
a thinker.
Yeah, she is. She's smart. And the other thing, too, I think for our listeners who are tuning in and listening to our show, people don't realize the toil it takes on the families, because you have to put gas in the car, new tires, you have to stay overnight sometimes, you have to buy all these things for the child who is ill, then you have to find babysitters for the other one sometimes. So it's costly and it adds up. And I know you weren't thinking, like, when this happened, oh my God, all this stuff is going to happen.
Oh no. I mean, first, you know, first the diagnosis, then they give you the treatment plan, you know, this is chemo, but then I find out that we have to go every couple of days for blood checks. And then, you know, so it's constant. Every week we're making at least two or three trips to the hospital. And then that doesn't even include the emergency visits if she spikes a fever. So she spends a lot of time in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I think the hardest one is our six-day chemo stretch. And so...
And your husband have to work to keep the health insurance. So what happens with the other children? Do you have family nearby, or do you have to have people that come to watch them?
My husband works from home.
Praise God for that.
Yes, he's a senior computer engineer, and he, you know, thank God that his work allows him to, you know, pick up the kids, take them home, and then he sometimes logs back in and works. So, yeah, it has definitely been a change, you know, because, you know, if I'm at the hospital for a week with August through the week, then my kids are, you know, at home, and I'm usually the one to do homework with them and, you know, everything.
Yeah,
else.
The mom stuff.
Yes,
you have to
yes.
do all the
but,
mommy stuff.
You know, my husband does that too. So,
yeah.
You know, but
it's nice to have a partner that shares that responsibility.
Yes.
Especially in these trying times. So, how do you feel about the therapy that she's receiving? Is the doctor giving you guys good readings? Her readings are good. Everything's coming along when you do the testings and stuff.
Yes, right now she says, you know, August is where she should be.
Good.
Because I'm asking all these questions, you know. You know, the last scare was she had a second echocardiogram, which is normal when she gets these certain chemo meds to monitor her heart. And she said there was a dip in something as far as, you know, not being good.
But and with the internet, it's scary because you can go read everything now, right?
Oh, yeah. And
right.
WebMD, no matter have or what you have going on, it always leads to Crohn's disease, doesn't it? Like everything goes to, you have Crohn's disease, I'm sorry.
Yes.
So, but that was expected, you know, as far as the echocardiogram. And so she ensured me that, you know, it's just something that they monitor throughout her treatment.
Do you have to buy her any supplements to take? Because I know she can't eat like she used to.
Right. That is something that I've been trying to work really hard at. I'm trying to give her the nutrients that she needs. I call it, I've been trying to make sneaky shakes.
Yeah.
Sneaky smoothies.
And stick a little vitamin in there,
you know,
or something.
Mrs. Mango's.
Yes.
On
oh, yes.
One. Yes.
Oh,
they actually have a cancer package of different different stuff.
Herbs.
Yeah. And
I see some Trinidad stuff
oils.
In there.
Yes. And so I've been putting them in blenders along with, you know, Juice Plus, anything that I can get
you've
my
had
hands
so
on.
You've had a huge lifestyle change, too, with all of this.
Yes. You know, definitely. It's just, you know, every day it's kind of you're in flight mode, you know. Like, it's, you know, last night she woke up crying for some reason. She didn't exactly know. The night before, she woke up crying because she had a leg cramp. You know, there's been sores in her mouth that she had that we had to deal with, and her not eating. And that's my main concern. She has lost, you know, about 10 pounds since this whole thing. And, you know, we still have until, you know, June or July to
go through it,
chemo.
Yeah.
Right. And
so we have a couple of minutes left. We better get the one fundraiser that I was going to attend, but now I can't. I have to do my CPR renewal. So tell our listeners about the fundraiser coming up tonight, and then there's more, and where they can find a website, the GoFundMe.
Sure. Well, this is right now. This is the fundraiser for August. Coconuts on the Beach contacted Freedom 7 and said we wanted to do a benefit night for her. And since then, there's been so many businesses for fundraising baskets or raffles at this event. I mean, this event, they got Hawaiian dancers.
Tonight. And it starts at
tonight, 5 to 8.
Gosh,
So it sounds like a very beautiful event. And like I said, you can possibly win yoga.
So you just have to buy your food and they'll donate a proceed of the food.
Yeah, I believe they're going to have, there's going to be
maybe
stuff.
I'll do my there's CPR another night because the website said Mondays and Thursdays. Maybe I could go Thursday. I'll see. I'm gonna look at myself in the mirror, and I think this is more important.
The kids, there's some kids at Freedom 7 who actually are selling things there to benefit August. So there's going to be a lot of raffles there tonight as well.
And if someone can't attend, they can go on Facebook. There's a GoFundMe set up. And you can just put in her name, August Terry, and it comes up?
That I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I will look it up right now.
Yeah, I had to go through your post to find it.
Yes.
But that, you know, that's what community is about. That's what being a village is about.
Right.
It's all of us taking care of August together as a family.
Right.
And recognizing what challenges that your family is facing right now. Nobody wants to have a child diagnosed with cancer. But it does happen. And when it does happen, we come together and we help. We teach you how to cope, right? That's what we do. That's what we have to do as human beings, I think. So Ellen is looking it up, but is there another fundraiser besides this one?
No, this is the one to attend.
Oh, Ellen, this is the one to attend.
This is it. I know.
Oh, my goodness. Now I'm going to have to wait. What's important?
And you can always go on to, we have a group, Heal August,
I saw
Facebook.
That.
Yes.
And you could donate there. I saw you could donate.
Well, you have
there,
to find the link to the GoFundMe account. And that's...
So did you find, like, in a time like this, that you're drawing on the strength of your friends, people that love you, your family? Because you need people, you need to take care of you, Wendy, as well.
Yes. You know, I have beautiful friends who I vent to and talk to and that are always there and offering to help. And, you know, I understand that I have to take care of myself to take care of my daughter, and I'm trying to do that.
And social media did help. I mean, sometimes people slam social media, but in your case, I thought about it and I said, well, when you're sitting there with her for hours upon hours, it's nice that you have your friends and you have your blog and you're able to talk about it, because it is an outlet. It really is. It is a way for you to get, still keep in contact with the outside world while something is happening.
Yes, and then, you know, it's just, yes, it's a way for me to vent about what's happening, and then also just receive prayers and good wishes for whatever we're going through. You know, I try to be very positive, but I also have to be, I try to be real about it too. You know, because, you know, there are difficult times that we go through quite often, but I try to be positive every day, make the best.
And you got someone else away from cancer too, right?
And I have the list here of the people that donated, which is an incredible list. Country Inn and Suites, Elizabeth Cottrell Photography, Gathering Table, where's a good friend of mine, Mimi's Cafe or Crafts, Country Beach Country, Cocoa Beach Country Club, Green Turtle Market, Pacific Rim, Merritt Island, Sunshine Designs, Public Supermarket, Home Clean Home, Long Doggers, another good friend of mine and place I work. Also Palm Shores Bistro. So
We love that place too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Innovative Yoga, Outback, Art Science Incubator, Aerial Adventures with Cocoa Beach, Sweetie's Ice Cream and Candy. So what a great outpouring of love. Yeah.
Before we have 1 minute left, and I wanted to ask you, so how is August coping? When you look at her, what are some of the questions that she's asking you on a daily basis?
You know, for questions, she's not really asking, you know.
Has she been more accepting? She's accepted what's going on, and she's going
with
the flow.
Yes, things have been getting better as far as even her taking medication. You know, it's not such an ordeal. The past two nights taking the shots, which was much easier. You know, so there's things that she's adjusted to.
She's brave. She's a brave little girl.
Yes. And then, you know, the most beautiful experience out of all this, one of the symptoms that I was really worried about for her is losing her hair.
Yeah.
And even before, she started losing a little bit, but she wanted to shave it off herself.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it, like, after her first treatment, it was gone. And I was putting
my youngest, I believe, to bed, and she was like, Mommy, I want to shave my head now. Shave my hair. And so it was like a family experience in the living room, shaving her hair, and her brother followed. And but
almost
it,
like a St. Aldrich's in your living room, right?
She, and when she goes for her treatment, are there children there? Is she seeing other children and how they're coping as well?
Yes, we have. She has talked to other children and, you know, seen them getting through it.
Yes. So they kind of bond and they share experiences too. Well, Wendy, we wish you luck, and my prayers and goes out for you and your family, and you have touched all of us and our hearts, and so have your little daughter too, and I just feel like she's mine.
Thank you so much.
You know, well, and let us know if there's more fundraisers that you'd like to do. We have a lot of connections in the town. I have a band, so we can come and maybe certainly help you out. But another fantastic show here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and what a powerful day today was. Life after hate, and certainly make sure that you give love back to the community, because we've got people here that need it. Once again, Sita, great job on finding fantastic guests. And we'll be both here next week here on AM 1510 WWBC right here at 1 o'clock.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.